Hello, everybody at home. This is The Red Sewing, Season 2, Episode 7. So we finally got our dragon seeds up and running. This was, interestingly, the second highest rated episode on IMDb of the series. It's got a full 9 out of 10. Which.
I was just saying before we started to Jenny that I enjoyed this episode a lot better than last week. Maybe it's just the juxtaposition that made people rate it so high.
Yeah, I liked it. I'm it's weird. My head is kind of like, I think episodes 2 and 4 might have been better, but this is probably an easy third for me in the series. There were some bits I really liked, but I don't know if we should start off with what felt like the most filler scene ever, which was specifically Alicent Hightower going for a swim in the lake. It's not her first
Oh
scene
yeah,
in the episode.
that was total filler. That was
Like,
several miles of that.
I tried
All
so hard.
of Allison's stuff was just like, yeah, is she just giving up? Like,
She obviously is having a crisis, but
a
it
crisis is
just.
not very interesting and doesn't progress anything.
Yeah, and particularly that scene where she just goes out for a swim. Like, I thought, oh, is she going to try and kill herself? Is she going to, is something, anything going to happen? Nah, just going for a swim and having to think. Like,
Yeah, I mean, I made notes that like, is it this whole like cleanse and reset type system she's got in place? So she's having a bathe, so she's cleansing and reset. I put down she's always been alone. She's always been lonely, but never alone. So she just wants to get away. And the scar is just like the one that Rhaenyra had, and she's got the scars that are easily hidden. So she's always been putting on a front of being okay, and underneath she's a broken little child. Those are all things that metaphorically interesting, but in terms of like actually progressing plot and being like relevant to what's going on, not really. I would have rather had
No.
time with Helena. Like
Yes.
Helena's trauma, Yeah, that would be
interesting.
way more interesting.
Yeah. And generally through the series, to be honest, like Helena,
Oh yeah.
because so it like there's a chance, I don't know this or, but there's a chance that we'll see Helena on a dragon in the finale of this series
I
season.
hope so. I
And
want to see her with a dragon.
I do want to see it, but I do kind of feel like if they were looking for scenes to fill, some Helena stuff would have been a lot more well received than the amount of Daemon Targaryen and the amount of Alicent Hightower stuff. You know, not saying that these characters, you know, shouldn't be on the screen, but I just feel like they took up so much screen time at the expense of more interesting characters.
Yeah.
That would be the criticism
Yes,
I would have of this
I
series.
agree with you there.
So, I don't know, where do we want to start? Do you want to go in your order of your notes, Jenny?
I mean, my notes I've kind of been making just in the last 10 minutes of prepping. Well, do you guys wanna do? Let's get the kind of little sections out of the way, and then we can kind of focus on the main event, as it were. So, things happening in King's Landing. We have Larys gatekeeping whispers a little bit.
Yeah, I
With
this
what's he called? What's your
I
opinion on that?
Iron Rod. I that this one's interesting because I didn't know what to make of this scene. Like, yeah, you can interpret it, he's gatekeeping whispers, he's controlling the flow of information. That being said, if you heard a rumor from someone who heard it from someone who heard it from someone who heard it from
Yeah,
someone, would
I'd
you?
also do my spot checking. Yeah, I took it. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of ways to read that scene. I took it as that he didn't believe it. He's like, okay, someone's brother's cousin's nephew's sister said they saw someone riding a dragon that I know doesn't have a rider, and I know all the people who can ride dragons, so that seems And part of his implausible.
integrity
as Master of Whispers comes with like actually having the credentials.
So yeah,
So.
I think he fails to believe it. He certainly questions the source, as you kind of would do, because like it reminds me a little bit of the scene with Varys at the end of Game of Thrones, where he says, "How many people know about this?" referring to Jon Snow's lineage, and I think Tyrion says 11 or something, or 10 or something, like a bunch, and like Varys says, "That's not a secret. That's information." And it feels a little bit like that kind of. it's not really the sort of the whisper that you kind of wanted for it. But
Yeah. You think there's going to be consequences for not speaking up with it beforehand? Next episode, do you think you're going to get
I don't
punished for
know.
not bringing it forward?
My suspicion is probably not.
Unprejudiced it was. No.
But it was interesting to see. Also, yeah, so staying on that bit. So we realized that only one of the three Stooges was killed in the riot.
Yeah. So white coats becoming black. Do you think the decline of the Night's Watch in visual form, sending the lickspittles who failed to protect the queens
It could
to the
quite
watch?
start of the decay of the Night's Watch.
Where disgraced Kingsguard go, or yeah, like it could certainly
Like,
very
how
well.
many Kingsguard have ever been disgraced in that way? Like, it must be very few. They're such,
Oh yeah.
like.
In fact, as I sort of somewhat recall, I think it a lot of the people, the better people at the watch, are people that were just on the wrong side of a battle.
Yeah,
So
generally speaking.
you'd still have decent soldiers there, but
Or Northmen who draw straws, according to this series.
Yeah, I wonder how long that lasted. I mean,
Yeah.
yeah,
I don't
when
know
did they
whether or not
phase
that's
that out?
a GRR, or whether or not that's a showrunner's thing. It's a cool concept because it works so well with their sort of like
Yeah,
mentality and.
I think it's invented by the show
Yeah, but it's a
completely,
very
but it is a
good
cool
show.
idea.
It makes logical sense.
But of course, I don't like. It's tough to really like. I don't know how much what there is to read into this because, like, of course, Daemon as regent would want to get rid of the Lickspittle Kingsguard, but also, you know, for legitimate
Friend.
reasons because they're bad at their job, while at the same time just being Aegon sycophants. So it would make sense. I mean, I don't even know why he didn't just chop their heads off, I guess. Maybe because they're Kingsguard and they're from noble houses, most of them, maybe. Some of them. So maybe that might have, you know, maybe it might have been a good look for him. Maybe it showed
Or
compassion.
crazy theory thrown out there.
Oh.
We know that the wall is supporting Rhaenyra's cause, is sending some people who are loyal to the Greens to the north potentially to get some spy insight know-how. What's it from the Northmen? I
Possibly.
doubt it, but just throwing that out there, that would be cool and weird.
Yeah.
Very unlikely.
But
We're sending Tweedledee and Tweedledum to
Send the dummies now. But like, if they were smarter, if they were smarter Kingsguard, I feel like that would be a really good Aemond kind of tactic to get some spies up north. But yeah, you're right. They're the two dum-dums that got his wife and his bum hurt.
I think they're
Like,
ignoring the North at their own peril.
well, I suppose the only person that has any clue to Aegon's song of Ice and Fire is m maybe on the green side, maybe Alicent, who probably doesn't know. Well, she might know it
didn't, I mean, she
exists.
didn't know the whole story, but she like knows. It's something, and I think I don't know. Maybe Aemond does know. I feel like Aemond might know
He
something.
theorized he might have found something in the book, and he's got the dagger. And of anyone on Team Green that may be aware of the Song of Ice and Fire, it would be Aemond because he's the one who's done the history and he's obsessed with dragons. He's done the research. He's got the dagger. If anyone does know, it would be him or Helena, who maybe would know, but it would be a, dreamscape version of it. Not a text-written version of it. So she might know of it because she's dreamed of the apocalypse or whatever, but she obviously would be able to communicate that clearly.
I'm just scanning through the episode now, and I can absolutely just see how much screen time is dedicated to the dragon seeds versus anything else. It's basically it's Daemon's
It's a
scene.
huge amount of them.
That was so good, though. All that
That was
stuff
so
was so
good.
good.
We went back to Harrenhal and it was good. Yeah, I loved it. So we got
Yeah, so let's we've done So King's Landing, we're all good for, nothing else other than Aegon's recovery, crazy fast. Like, I know he's in a lot of pain, but the fact that he's up and walking, like, as far as we can tell, Alicent only just got sewn up. Aegon's apparently walking around, even though he's in obviously a lot of pain. That's incredible recovery time. But yeah, let's go to Harrenhal if we're done with King's Landing.
I'm
Now,
really looking forward to the Aegon Larys kind of machinations happening there. But to be honest, I don't even know if we'll see much in the second episode for that. That might be something that's either set up or concluded in the next series, but I do quite like it. So do you want to go to the Riverlands?
Yeah, let's do
Yes,
Harrenhal.
Grover Tully. Oh, he's so cool.
Oh, he's such a boss.
Yeah.
Jeez, who knew that
He's
Muppet could
he's
talk?
the Lyanna Mormont of this show.
100%. He knew how to like play all of that field. Like, he had the power the whole way through. I just, oh, it's so good.
Yeah, and also comportment. Learn word of the
Yeah.
day.
Like, also, I really liked that, like, we've had every time Daemon has killed someone throughout the entire series up until this scene has been because he's wanted to. In some capacity, he's wanted to. He's been like really wanting to kill whoever he's killed. This is the first time I think he's ever killed someone because he's backed into a corner. And that's nice. I like that.
Well, that's probably quite the character-defining moment. He was quick, though, wasn't he? He was quick.
Yeah, he was decisive.
It was like, oh, fuck. It's like, I mean, honestly, that was kind of shrewd. And I think it probably, like, just is an example of why the Tullys are the bosses. And
Yeah.
also love the armor that the Tullys wear, the fishy scales. Like, that's just.
Yeah. I think we all liked the Blackfish's armor back in the day.
Yeah, it's good. I'm glad they. But yeah, and it's kind of like the shrewd thing. It's like, well, you're young, so you've obviously got to show some kind of wisdom. You
I like
kind
that
of got
he
to.
played his youth as a card. Where
Yeah.
he's like, hey guys, I'm just a baby. I don't know what's going on. But this shit is going on, so work it out.
Yeah, I like the bit where Simon Strong's like, oh dear, what's it like?
Yeah,
It's
he's
like,
like,
oh,
oh fuck.
what's he
Damon's back to a corner.
gonna do now? It was such a good scene. It's what made Game of Thrones really good, that kind of thing. I think the thing is, because he couldn't do anything to Daemon, right? Daemon is
Yeah.
King Consort, and I liked the thing where, like, inside of Harrenhal, he was using the term like King Con is it King Consort or something?
King Consort, yeah,
Yeah, King
he called
Consort.
him my king and all
And
that.
then called him Prince in company.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
that's manipulative and shrewd. I
He's
liked it,
really,
and.
I enjoyed again where the power lies. Like, Daemon obviously could kill all of them. If he wanted to, he could ask, like, he could just, burn him up, stab him. But actually, then what would he gain from it? He would lose everything if he were to kill these leaders. Like, what he can't threaten them, he can't kill them. He's got no other choice. And it's, I think, one of the few times he's ever been politically vulnerable because he done fucked up. And oh, so good.
He needs them more than they need him. Like, at the end of the
Yeah.
day, like, if the River Lords do kill Daemon, in reality, I don't know, dragon pending, they might get by, but if Daemon kills all the River Lords, they've lost the entire Riverlands, really, haven't they? And they've lost the war. I think Oscar Tully even says, like, would you
It's
have
I
our
think it's
armies or
it
not?
Grover is it I think it's Gro
I
the
thought
grandfather was
Grover's.
Oscar. Maybe I got it
This
reversed.
I didn't write down their names.
The
I thought it was
Muppets. Regardless,
It's the Muppets.
I'm
It's
still
Team Muppet.
pissed that they didn't include Kermit, because it was supposed to be
I mean, maybe
a
they'll have a
brother.
throwaway line. Maybe they'll have like an ADR guy in the background being like, "Hey, Kermit, do you
I
want to
think
come? Do
I think Ker
war?"
well, so Kermit is the kid's dad,
No, his
and
brother, I think.
oh,
Yeah, brother.
okay.
I don't remember
If he
exactly.
had a dad, he wouldn't be the heir apparent.
But isn't it his grandfather that died, or is it his father that
Yeah,
died?
his
So
grandfather
his
died.
grandfather died, so
His
if he had
father's
a
name is
father still
Elmo.
living.
I know that the middle, the one, yeah. I think it's like
So
Oscar, Elmo,
I'm
Reverend
assuming
Kermit.
Elmo died before his time.
Elmo died before his father. Yeah.
Yeah. What about Cookie Monster Tully? Big Bird Tully. So yeah, I
Yeah, I
also
loved it.
and also I'm like looking at the shots. I love the armor. The armor is absolutely phenomenal here.
Well, everyone loved the armor, as I said, of Blackfish in Game of Thrones, so I like that they've carried it through,
Oh,
with
absolutely.
being just cool. I like this in the Godswood. I also like the fact that there's kind of a sort of questioning theme about what the next generation do. Like we have our current kind of hero generation, which is, Rhaenyra, one of those ones. And then you have the question of the next generation. So you have your Jace and Baylor and Rhaenyra, and the Muppet. Like what are they gonna do? And like they're
Oscar.
showing
I looked it up, it's
Oscar.
Oscar.
They're showing extreme political confidence and extreme political competence. And like even what's he called? Mr. Stark Man up in the north.
Oh,
The
Kragan
this younger
Stark.
generation, Kragan. And like it's a nice little theme running about like this potential future, which given that we know that the story is probably very tragic, it's just setting us up for the tragedy. And I like it. It's good. It's nice to have likable characters on screen.
Absolutely. Right. So I'm just doing some.
What about Damon's vision? The final vision of Viserys? Thoughts?
Okay, so I do not like flashbacks in general. But I really like this one. And this all of the previous flashbacks could have just been this one, and it could have been fine. Because it's like I like the he's like it's the decrepit Viserys that is the one that like Daemon last saw, I think it is the and he and honestly like he like it seems like the genuine revelating moment there, like that he I think at this moment we've kind of gone through a little bit of a journey where he just kind of realizes at this point he actually probably doesn't want to overthrow Rhaenyra and just happy to be the rogue prince, like you know is it's who he was always meant to be, right?
I think, again, going from the fact that this is the first time he's ever killed someone not for his own pleasure, he killed someone that presumably he quite liked, Mr. Blackwood. There was some hesitancy there. He didn't want to kill him, but was willing to do it in order to get the army, and he was willing to do it in the name of Rhaenyra as his king, as the king consort, and also willing to accept the title of prince. He was willing to make that political sacrifice in front of the Riverlords in order to get the army, and I think that's probably one of the most self-sacrificing things he's done for Rhaenyra's cause. I would be interested, given his obsession with Targaryen lineage and his obsession with Targaryen history, how the is he going to respond to Rhaenyra potentially legitimizing Targaryen bastards by offering them dragons? Like, he is not gonna like that shit one bit.
Yeah. This is
Well,
interesting.
yeah, and especially without, I go back to this again, nettles. Them cutting nettles from the story, I think is a big mistake. And she has a serious relationship with Damon in the book, and I am just mad that they're gonna totally miss out on that.
Well, I'm not
Yeah.
sure because, like, I think it would be like a real, like it would be a mean double bluff. And I'm not entirely sure the showrunners have the confidence to do it because I get like they've done so much like sideline development for Rhaena, and it would be a real shame if she didn't get a dragon, especially with all this setup. But wouldn't it be really like a proper sting in the tail if she finally approaches Sheep Eater and there's nettles riding Sheep Eater? Like, wouldn't
Yeah.
that be just like the final nail in the coffin where like another young woman has claimed this dragon just as she finally approached her last chance at getting a dragon? Like, I think they've done obviously the aspects of Nettle's character which do with being lowborn, they're covering with other characters, having a young female dragon rider potentially they can substitute with Rhaena, and they've done so much development to make us we they've kicked her enough, they've kicked Rhaena so much that like we care about the dog, like if you kick the dog we care, but it would be such a great like final twist if they like introduce nettles as a final like F you, Rhaena. I don't think they will. I think they will replace nettles with Rhaena, which is a shame because of the relationship with Damon. I don't know too much of the details. I read it like a couple of years ago. I've not looked because I don't want to be too spoiled, but
I know
it's a shame that they've ruined that relationship.
it's a big grievance with George R. R. Martin, actually. I believe he's proper mad that they cut nettles, which I would have thought he would have had more creative control over that decision. Or did they sneak it
Yeah,
through or something? I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like it's such an important. She covers a lot of ground as a character, and I know she's very important towards the end of the Dance of the Dragons, I believe. So it does seem weird to have cut her, which gives me a little bit of hesitancy towards the showrunners, but so far they've been doing so well. I don't wanna hold back quite yet.
We'll find out. Like, yeah, I mean, I can't. Yeah, I've got no comments on that because I'm not super familiar with nettles, other than that she is a. Is she a Valyrian bastard or a
She's a
I mean,
Targaryen bastard.
presumably she has some heritage from Valyria. It's never made clear how she's related to anyone.
Okay. And the
She
but the
described as like being like dark skin and lived on in Driftmark. I think she's from Driftmark or Dragonstone.
But I am assuming because it looks like Sheep Stealer is in the Vale,
Yeah, which is
that
different. Yeah, Sheep Stealer is in Dragonstone in the book.
So I suspect we'll see Rhaenyra on Sheep Stealer, I guess. She snuck off really quite easily.
Yeah, no, like I
Yeah.
get that, like
But
again,
no
she's
one
been
like
kicked as a
wouldn't have looked for her.
character, but like I feel like someone will be at least vaguely keeping an eye out for a Valyrian princess, like, or the heir to Driftmark, theoretically. Like, she's just because she's been kicked does not mean she's not an important political tool. Like, I feel like someone would be keeping an eye on her or something.
I think that just goes to show how
Bizarre.
dismissive Jane Aranoz is of her. Like, she's
Yeah,
just.
I suppose so.
Yeah, Jane Arryn has been a little disappointing to me also as a
Like,
character. She's a lot more interesting in the book.
I found it interesting in the first couple of scenes, and then like her first scene, like there seemingly was multiple things going on. Like she empathized, but she was also had like a job to do. She's got like responsibilities, like, and then after that, she just became like a basic bitch. That's a bit of a shame.
Cool. Right, what other bits we okay,
So
so
no.
with every I think everything else is bleeding into the Dragon Seed storyline, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
Yes, I believe so. I
the
can't think
red
of anything
sewing.
else.
The red sewing.
Yes.
Cool. All right. So let's start at the beginning. Adam of Hull.
Yes. Really interesting
Good
power
job.
play between him and Rhaenyra. Like that whole sequence on the beach, where it was, you know, this like who's going to have the power, who's playing up, who's playing down, like her trying to speak with authority and like him, you know, trying to convince her it's not a. It was just really interesting her trying to gauge the whole interaction, given that presumably. This is the first time that a non-Targaryen or an obviously not related to a Targaryen has claimed a dragon.
Yes,
Question mark.
as far as any of these characters know,
So,
at
you know,
least.
like her kind of juggling all of that emotional conflict all at once and trying to gauge his like character and his like reaction was just so good.
I really enjoyed the scene, and I'm glad they included it, and I'm glad they added Adam finding Silverwing before, and that's sort of what triggers the whole broader search for bastards. I thought that was a good change.
Yeah,
Yeah,
because
because
as I
before it
understand
was
it,
only searching for highborns.
well, as I understand it, the discussion between Corlys and Adam, hang on a minute, Adam, who's the older brother, the bald one?
Alan. Alan.
Alan, that's it. Like he apparently isn't it Alan doesn't he have a go first in the books? Isn't he like given a shot and then
Yeah,
it's
he attempts to ride a dragon and fails. He doesn't die. But I don't forget if it's Silverwing or Vermithor he tries, but
Oh, okay, because I really enjoyed the fact that he, when he was talking to Corlys, was saying that he's salt and water, while his brother always wanted something more, which is the exact
You mean salt
opposite
and smoke?
to what Baela was saying. Baela was saying, "I'm fire and blood. I'm not salt and water. I'm, you know, I don't want to be your heir to Driftmark," which is basically exactly the opposite of what Adam said, which kind of if Corlys decides to name Adam his heir, he is technically kind of the perfect heir as long as he's legitimized. But yeah, I did enjoy Corlys like being like, "Oh well, fuck, my son's a dragon rider, shit balls.
And it's not
Keeping
my
that one a
favorite one.
secret, but also, yeah, it's not the one with the white hair. Also, I'm realizing now I didn't even know where their mum was from." Fuck.
Okay, I think he's one of mine. So I think they're setting
Oh
it
yeah,
up.
speaking of, oh, you go ahead first.
I think they're setting it up so that Alan is going to be inheriting the Salt Throne, right? Because that's a pretty big signal there, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty good
Like,
guess.
as I said, it's a perfect verbal throwback to the conversation with Baela.
Absolutely, yeah. What are you gonna say, Max?
I was gonna say, speaking about mothers, oh, jumping ahead a little bit, but I just wanted to say Hugh Hammer, his mother is Sarah Targaryen, daughter of Jaehaerys and Alysanne. Early says he was implied to be, which is new information, which is pretty cool.
That's
Because
fine.
me and Chris were discussing that just before kickoff, because I misheard when I first watched it. I instead of her him describing it as her brother's children, Daemon and Viserys, I heard it as her children, Daemon and Viserys, which completely confused me, because I'm like, one sec, Daemon and Viserys's mother was a whore as well as being a princess? Does that mean that the scene between Daemon fancying having sex with his mum was like she was a whore? And it completely, like, I was completely on the wrong tree, barking up the wrong track, doing all of the wrong metaphors, because I missed one word, brothers, son, children. Which then I was like, oh yeah, well, it's gonna be the fun Targaryen, the one who is a famous whore.
Yeah, I it it's this one is a bit wild to me. I don't know what like Hugh Hammer kind of like I don't I'm trying still trying to gauge him as a character, right? Because like he seems like in terms of the plot framing devices and stuff, initially that he was supposed to be like some kind of like salt of the earth good guy, but then like he you know he mugs that guy for his cabbage, and he's like basically telling his wife to like pound sand while he goes chasing a dragon. Like I don't know, this
Well,
doesn't
and
feel
also
like a
his daughters died off screen.
yeah.
Like, that was a bit of a like a oh well, that's a bummer. It was interesting because there was like three different types of dragon seeds this episode. We had one that was like, Adam was like he was the like I've always wanted more. Tis my destiny. I am not made of salt. I am made of fire. This is my dream. And then you have what's he called?
Ulf.
The drunkard
Ulf,
Ulf,
yeah.
who was basically depression into trying,
I
which I found so like that was
love
just
that
like a
scene.
great way. Oh,
That
it's just as it like it was like banter. It was like your friends like egging you on to do something you know you should like. It was like they were egging him on to like do like base jumping or something. Like, oh man, you gotta give it a go, otherwise you'll regret doing it. And he's like, I don't want to. And they're like, yeah, man, you gotta. Don't be a wimp, you pussy type. Like, it was just, it was.
It's sort of like he lied himself into a corner in a way. Kind of like this is the thing I'm
Kind
kind
of,
of
yeah.
because it's like is it because I, as you know, I'm skeptical about whether or not lineage or blood has anything to do with it. It might be that the dragons are just a bit prejudiced and that you need someone with some lineage from old Valyria, or it might just be that they're just looking for vibes. It might be an entirely vibes-based system. We can't
Yeah,
rule
it
that
might be
out.
entirely vibes because
And each.
honestly, Hugh the Hammer was just vibes.
It was that was a full vibes kind of like, oh, okay, this person's got a bit of,
He Jon Snow screaming at a dragon.
So that's kind of that. I mean, that bit was a little bit How to Train Your Dragon, but I sort of can, I'm kind of fine with that, I guess. In the same way that, like, with Adam, it was a bit like How to Train Your Dragon, but it's fine, like,
Yeah.
because it's
Well,
dragons.
I think the thing that changed it from How to Train Your Dragon is that they How to Train Your Dragon is kind of it's whimsical. It's got a sense of wonder and joy to it, while this had a sense of like all three of the dragon seeds meeting their dragon interactions we've had, there is a sense of absolute dread, like terror, and it's kind of, I'm trying to get the right word,
There's a lot of shit your pants
like the
energy in it, right?
authority, like there's kind of a weight to it. It isn't just joy, like obviously when Ulf got on the dragon and did his drive by King's Landing, which I'll be interested to know whether or not that was him just joyriding or whether or not Rhaenyra actually sent him to do that to piss off Aegon. But like that was very much for me, like it's like there's a weight and a like a authority to being a dragon rider. Which I enjoy that differentiation between that and How to Train Your Dragon. Although the flying theme is fun too.
But like I'm not entirely sure if Ulf has any lineage, because he doesn't seem confident in it. Maybe he was told and he doesn't, and he's only like 50-50 on the fence about it or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to use the term that I've been using literally every single, but it is deliberate ambiguity, right?
Oh
Like,
yeah,
there's
100%.
always a bit of, oh, maybe, oh, bit of what if. But I like.
I do enjoy the fact that they are discussing it, particularly in this episode. They're discussing like, is it blood? Is it like is it language to a certain extent? Like they're gonna teach High Valyrian to Adam. They then didn't teach any of the dragon seeds they brought in any Valyrian. They didn't even teach them like. Hi, what's up, dragon? They didn't teach them anything. They just were like, off you go. The dragon will choose. Most of you're gonna
Oh,
die.
also, how about the dragon keepers,
Yeah, the
like
defection of the
walking out
dragon
on
keepers.
Yeah, who
walking
told
out
you you
on
could
Rhaenyra?
unionize?
Well, what
Yeah.
I'm interested about that is one of the things about this series is if you think about the lead up into Game of Thrones, there's a couple of things that, because it's a prequel, you know have got to have happened in order for it to then be killed by the time it gets to Game of Thrones. And obviously they don't have dragon keepers. A lot of people don't speak High Valyrian, and the knowledge of how to look after dragons has been lost to the point where Dany's relearning how to feed her dragons cooked meat. So it's a big incident of a death of culture. Now, what I'd be interested to learn is whether or not the Dragon Keepers of Dragonstone are going to try and go to King's Landing and defect to the Greens, or if they're going to fuck off back to Valyria, or if they're just gone for good. Because that is a big death of culture. That is a huge death of culture if they've completely gone.
Possibly. So these are just like they're dragon monks, as it were. But were they around in the days of old Valyria, or are they
Yeah,
a
they're descendant of other Valyrian families that like worked underneath the Targaryens,
Oh, okay.
from what I understand.
So they're not just staff. They're not just on payroll to look after the dragons. They're actually there as part of a fuller kind of
Yeah,
adoring
they're
process.
like houses. They're like semi-noble houses, I think, that are doing this
That
work.
would make sense because, of course, High Valyrian, right? Like, there, it to me, I feel that it's inconceivable for a lowborn to know High Valyrian. Like, that would be like even
Yeah,
Tywin Lannister
in
in.
Westeros for sure.
Like, as Tywin Lannister was talking to Arya, and he was saying, "Oh, a blacksmith's daughter that could read—that's quite right." So we're not even talking,
Yeah.
so a blacksmith's daughter would
Like the fact
definitely not
that
be
they
learning High
can
Valyrian.
speak multiple languages is like already impressive.
Well,
And
like I
like
say,
it's
it's.
not, not anyone can just look after a dragon. Like these guys, like they are trained from young on how to look after what people perceive of as gods.
Yeah. Actually, on that note, I was thinking about this. It was during the Adam and Rhaenyra scene at the beginning, and I thought, is it possible, right, mega theory incoming now, that actually the humans are controlled by the dragons? Like, could it just literally just be the other way around? We think that we're,
What like when you own a cat, like the cats
Sort of.
definitely rule the home. Let's be honest.
A little bit
That's
like
true.
that, but sort of like
Excuse me.
could dragons be basically
You think the dragons
warging
might go extinct?
people?
You think they're manipulating people into getting them to go extinct?
I think that they might be. I think they might be. I think the Dance of Dragons. I don't know. Like, I'm just entertaining the idea that maybe the actual battle itself is between the dra like. I find it diff odd to believe that the dragons would fight each other as willingly as they do.
Yeah, that is something that is sort of like
I did
in the
enjoy
back of
in
my
the
mind.
scene between Adam and Ramira at the beginning, the fact that obviously Ramira and Adam were having their English conversation, and it seemed like
The dragons having this, yeah.
Cyrax and they were like cooing and weaving, and then there was like bowing, and like there was concession of power between the two of them, and obviously we
Yeah.
have seen like dragon be dragon, but we've also seen dragons co-harmonizing, like flying together. Like it's interesting that you get to see that more. Like I do wonder, like who was it? I think probably Alt Shift X was pointing out how like if you look at the dragon riders over the years and how they're interconnected and people like Vhagar was Daemon's mother's dragon, correct? And then it was Daemon's wife's dragon. Or no, Maelys. Maelys was Daemon's mom's dragon. I can't remember. The dragons are as incestually related as the humans and much more long-lived. So it would be so interesting seeing more dragons interact with each other, not just in combat. Like, I want to see more of the dragon interactions because, like, that in of itself, like, who gets the respect and who is, like, the powerhouse? And, like, is it like, you know, when a small dog meets a large dog, do you get that, like, and they do, like, skirt and bows? Like, I want to see that sort of interaction. Like, I want to see Vermithor, or, like, Vermax, or, like, like how does the cannibal react to like other dragons? How does like a wild dragon, I want to see a wild dragon like sheep stealer out like interacting with other dragons and see how like do they snap at them like an angry dog? Like I want to see, you know, like how do they like we almost never see dragons reacting with dragons apart from I think this is one of the first scenes we've seen it, and it was just really nice to see. But like how does Cyrax react to Vermithor? Like just like these little things would be so nifty to see, because the dragons in Game of Thrones are both these magical, mystical creatures with high intelligence, and they're also these beasts. They're like the combination of two aspects of what could be individual tropes, and so it's just it'll be fun to see them do more stuff together.
I loved how old and creaky Vhagar looks.
Oh,
Like
she's such a gecko grandma.
it just felt like I don't know, like a
So
piece of
leathery.
like almost like a living volcano or something. Like
Yeah.
just
Ooh, that's a good way of saying it.
genuinely
I
something
like that.
quite ancient.
I also love the fact that Aegon had to like ride to get to her. Like dragons are like swooping around the city, and he's got to like be like, "Oh crap, I've got to go pick up grandma." Like he's got to actually like ride out there and get on her, and then she's like, "Oh yeah, sure, we'll go flying."
I heard that that's because Vhagar doesn't fit in the dragon pit, so has to sleep outside in the city, which feels a bit mean. That's you know, you
It's a
could
dragon pit. You think they put a granny annex on it?
the granny annex.
Yeah.
And
Just extend it a little bit, just for Vhagar.
I don't know if this was intentional, but it definitely felt like the like everyone talks about the differences in the dragons and the interest, and I felt this one was one where you really they really tried to bring to you the differences in the growls, the colors, the ages as well. Vhagar looks ancient, whereas we did some of the other dragons, they just looked a lot younger. It's really good how they do that, and it's kind of
I
odd in like.
enjoyed the offhand comment as well that Daeron's dragon has taken to wing, which means that basically Daeron's dragon is a baby. Daeron's dragon has only just taken to wing. Or like, does that mean he's literally traveling? I don't know, but
Oh
either
no,
way, baby.
I assume that means taken to wing means started flying.
I thought I was not sure about that. I didn't know if that meant that Aaron had started riding him,
Yeah, that's
or
kind
if
of how.
it literally started, the dragon
Because
literally just
we
learned how to
obviously
fly.
we understand that basically dragons are like the super fast jets of this world. So if he'd just started flying, he would have gotten to King's Landing before the end of the episode. Because we've had enough time for Aegon to start walking, Hudson to go for a spa retreat, and yeah.
Well, he's going with the Hightower
Oh, he's
armies,
accompanying the
right?
horde.
He would
Okay.
be protecting them, I think.
Okay. But yeah,
Now,
everyone's got a dragon. You get a dragon, and you get a dragon.
it's
You
I mean,
bastard, you get a dragon.
I don't know if, because apparently Daeron Targaryen has not been cast for this season, they say. I don't know if they're able to do like a bait and switch and go, aha, actually, and reveal him.
Actually, we've cast Nettles and we've cast Daeron.
Well,
Nephew.
you never know, but my guess would be we might get a glimpse of a dragon, of Daeron's dragon, maybe at the end of this season. It seemed to it, like, because Ironrod said that that like he'll be in battle soon, right? Like he's almost. That kind of was the vibe I was getting. So,
Yeah, I assume it basically means he's in play.
yeah, which is kind of interesting. The big scene in the Dragon Pit, that was quite that's where the bulk of
Awesome.
the
Well
budget seemed to
directed.
have gone.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, this was probably one of the most, like, I'm gonna say ethically questionable things Rhaenyra and team has done.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's
Big
ethically
time.
questionable, but also like she did tell them what would happen. She did say like, "Hey guys, if you survive this, like you may not survive this. Like
It didn't seem
the
like she had a
dragon's gonna
plan,
eat
though.
you."
Like, it's like I
Well,
would have thought they would have
clearly she
taken
was going
them.
to rely on the dragon keepers, wasn't she? And then they decided to fuck off.
Well, I feel that she should have told them ahead of time, because it feels like they kind of like she sort of landed this on them,
Yeah.
and at the last minute, it's like she wants us to
And
do what?
yeah,
yeah,
I
and
did
and
enjoy.
how are you and Ulf gonna feel about her after going through this to get, now that they have dragons, you know? Are they gonna feel,
Yeah.
are they gonna be super loyal?
I don't know,
You
'cause
know,
that's the interesting thing
how far
is
is the loyalty gonna go?
I think you know
like
the answer to
she
this,
was
Max.
considering it.
I mean,
She was
it could go a bunch of different ways.
considering it divine provenance that she got a loyal lowborn commoner bastard who immediately pledged. Like, and I have slight concern that she considers this whole thing divine provenance. I know it's a like it's never happened before, but like it does come with risks that her son points out. Like, if she's like basically legitimizing people to Targaryen bloodline by offering dragons, then does that weaken his future legitimacy? Particularly because they look like Targaryens and he doesn't look like Jason's concerns are genuine. But in terms of like other political things, it's actually a really, really smart idea because like Cersei was a ruthless bitch. Oh no, it wasn't Cersei in the end, it was Joffrey was a ruthless bitch. For killing off all of the bastards, all of Robert's bastards. But actually, this is a really quick way to kill off all the bastards. Like, there won't be anyone else claiming for the throne, will they? Because they all came, they got smote. So
That is what I was, yeah, I was totally thinking
you've
that at the
killed off
time.
the competition.
It's like, yeah,
Like.
you've just cleansed a bunch of bastards. Maybe that's what it looks. Maybe that's what it looks like.
Yeah,
No,
so
to.
some people might say that she was like killing off her bastard kin. But equally, like It does mean you're not going to get any other claims to frame. Also, it does also, again, if we're going with the cascade of a prequel having to set up Game of Thrones, like the Targaryen bloodline is pretty much dead apart from Daenerys and Viserys at the beginning of Game of Thrones. So, like, killing off the bastards is another way of purging that line, which, like, it's both future setup and also could be politically very clever. In terms of also political cleverness, if you talk about Missarya and her kind of subtly trying to give more power to the commoners and, like, bringing up the lower classes and trying to create, like, a middle class sort of, like, she's trying to bring people up. Like, elevating bastards is definitely a means to an end on that front, and I found it interesting that they kept on saying like someone brought so high, someone brought like up so high, because obviously that's a dragon raises you to the kind of perceived position of godhood or nobility, but also physically means that you can fucking fly, so that's pretty nifty. So it's a good kind of dual meaning. The other kind of interesting political things is she just like, are the dragon pit trainers correct that basically they're using dragons as tools instead of using them as divine beasts? Because what she can do theoretically now is instead of sending out her son or her daughter-in-law or herself into combat, she can send these bastards with almost no training and some Valyrian out into the field to be used as fodder. And that's shitty as fuck, but also really smart.
See, this is interesting to me because he says, "Ah, dragons are the only last magic in this sad world," and it's like, haven't like, unless there's some kind of bait and switch, haven't dragons always kind of been used as this weapon of war ever since, presumably before Aegon the Conqueror, right? Like, it always seems that dragons are seen as a weapon before all else, and
Yeah.
I
I
don't,
think
I.
this might be the first time, at least in Westerosi history, that they're fighting each other.
Yes,
If that makes a
maybe.
difference.
This is, I think this is the first time, right?
Yeah.
Well, that does, yeah, so that probably does make a difference. And yeah. So, but what I did find quite interesting was the legitimacy question that Jace did bring up, because
Yeah, he just came
even
out and said it,
legitimacy
which I
is.
like that.
It is kind of the case of okay, so he might actually be a bastard. He might be perceived as a bastard, but he's got a dragon that kind of legitimizes him. If you start putting known bastards on dragons, are you sort of, does that jump them up ahead of in the line of succession?
Makes you say look hilarious. Targaryen. And I also like, on top of that, you have the case of are they older? Like are you legitimizing people who are closer to the true heirs? Or like the true bloodline. So if her claim is in question and her child's claim is even more in question because they're perceived to be a bastard, would a bastard of the generation up be considered a better claimant to the throne if they've got an older, larger dragon?
Well, as
I think it is
if
a continuing
Ulf's
concern.
claim to being Balon's son is actually accurate, and if he were true born, he would have the best claim to the throne, so
Now he's got all the
and then
bigger
Hugh
dragons as
after him
well.
probably.
And
That
you also have to take into account that, like, not only do they have a better claim because of their age and because of their seniority, like, there's also the question of, like again, if you, again, is that higher tier up the chain? And if Rhaenyra is favoring bastards, like openly acknowledging bastards, then does that make her look sympathetic to like the amorality of bastardy, and therefore yet again highlight the fact that her children are not freeborn. Like
I
if you're politically saying, yeah, bastards are fine, bastards are great, woo, then does that make her children look less legitimate? That's my question, is politically speaking, if you're pro bastards, does that make it seem like your children are more likely to be bastards?
It kind of. I think that like
I
the
think
as
they
I
think
understand
that.
it, in the was it the conciliation or the thing at the beginning of season one,
The big
the
meeting.
thing, the big meeting where they all put in their claim. As I understand it, there are quite a lot of there were
Great
a few
Council.
bastards. Yeah, that's the one, Great Council. There
Yes.
were a few bastards that did throw their hat into the ring. Now they
Yeah,
didn't
but none
come
of
out
them
and.
were seriously considered. I think the only two people that were like really considered in the end were Viserys and Rhaenys. That's what it came
Yeah,
down
and
to, I think.
Rhaenys
But
was
there were a lot of bastards.
potentially was mostly considered because she already had a male child. Like obviously
Yeah.
in the series
Laenor,
they
yeah,
were very
really it
clear.
was Laenor was it was
Yeah.
really Viserys and Laenor.
Was considered the true heir, even if like as per the books. Obviously in the series we've made it much more gender featured. But yeah.
Yeah. So I but I 'cause the thing is it's like Jace's from Jace's point of view it's like well I'm the named heir but obviously that only goes so far because Rhaenyra's
They're
fighting for
fighting
the
a
throne.
war right
Yeah.
now over being the.
Yeah. So I think this is just an example of the trepidation of power, right? That how fragile it kind of tends to be. And it's a little bit of the power resides where people think it resides, kind of
Yeah.
philosophy.
Well, talking of power residing where you think it does, what do you think? I've got a feeling that Rhaenyra is tripping down a dangerous slope talking about divine providence and how, the fact that she's considering it a divine.
She's getting high on her own supply. She's buying into her
Yeah.
own propaganda.
I found it
That's
also
a bit.
interesting that when Adam first claimed Seasmoke, that they described it as stealing a dragon, or whether or not the thief had been caught, and the concept that anyone could consider stealing a dragon who is
Grand Theft
not
Dragon.
trueborn is, or like who is not like worthy, like. Anyone who could consider like a dragon could be stolen, unless they're like an egg or a hatchling, is nuts. Like that just makes no sense to me that anyone could claim a dragon, like it's like they
How do you
steal it
convince
without
a
claiming
dragon
it.
to come with you?
Dragons don't do what they don't want.
I think this might actually be an example. Who's the one that says it? Was it it was one of
What's he called? The one that she slapped.
the one that's the dingus one. Hang on a minute, I'm trying to find it here. But basically he says that he's saying it seems that like the idea that from a non-Targaryen perspective, the idea that a lowborn could even ride a dragon is less comprehensible than a lowborn stealing a dragon, right? Like I think it just shows the sort of the assumption that they make, right? They don't because he wouldn't know much about dragons. Is like or is he a Dragonstone?
He's from
I've got.
Driftmark.
He's from Driftmark, and isn't he from a Valyrian house as well? Isn't he like one of the crab houses or something?
Wait, oh, you're talking about
I think
the board guy.
so.
Actually, I don't know who that you're
Oh, I
talking
don't
about,
know.
Adam.
I don't. I'm just trying to find the counts. Is there a council
Yeah.
meeting, a
No.
black council meeting in this episode? Or am I thinking of a
There
previous
is a
one?
Black Council meeting without Rhaenyra. that, like, these are all her commands, but she's not here, which I really enjoyed, particularly Corlys's, where they're like, obviously he immediately works out that it's probably one of his bastards. I did enjoy the fact that he was like, I'm gonna wait until the queen says her commands, and that mates. Like, I really enjoyed them all being like, oh, Remy was doing this and this and this and this and this and this. Well, what should we do, Lord Hand? He's like, well, we wait for her to review, and then we do what she says.
One of the things I
It was
really
so
did love.
simple, but it was nice.
One of the things I really did love about this episode was the montage. There was a few mon There was a great montage in with the handmaiden in the red
The
outfit
handmaiden and the whispers.
and the whispers and the music with the Rhaenyra's theme sort of beating in the background. I thought that was really kind of I don't
I
know. That was
mean,
just
I
a
do
joy to
enjoy the
watch.
fact as well that, like, clearly it was a sneaky thing to evacuate, what, 20, 25, 30 yellow-haired Targaryen bastards or claimants. But, like, I feel like I know we're meant to have a competent Master of Whispers in the Green Team, and we're meant to have a competent regent, or at least somewhat competent regent in the form of Aegon, Aemond. So, like, how the did those 30 people, like, I get that, like, Rhaenyra sent, like, a really good, like, Adam who's really good at ships, and they had a plan, and no one's expecting people to do this, but, like, how did no one stop 30 people leaving King's Landing by, like, it was a very smooth operation, I'll just say that.
Well,
Yeah, good
I suppose
question.
so. My suspicion is that they will find out.
Oh, what, the gunner, because,
Well, they're
like,
gonna the
yeah,
easy way or the
well, they've
harder,
seen someone ride, was it Silverwing?
Vermithor.
Silverwing
Yeah, Silverwing.
was the one that
Silverwing. Yeah,
Ulf
you're
was
right. Ulf
flying, yeah.
was riding Silverwing.
They've seen Silverwing being ridden after hearing, well, presumably Laris is going to be like, oh yeah, I heard tell that Seasmoke is also being ridden. Like, yeah. And, like, I did enjoy, obviously, Vermithor making it most of the way to Dragonstone before, not Vermithor,
Rhaegar,
Vhagar making it most of the
Rhaegar.
way to Dragonstone, and then being like, well, fuck turning around, or, you know, Aemond
They
being well,
made
fuck turning around.
Dragonstone look a lot closer to King's Landing than
Yeah.
I thought it was.
Well,
But, like, that
because I
final
think it's
shot of
like
Rhaenyra with the
mostly like
dragon
a
in the
couple hundred
background.
miles.
How
It's.
do you guys interpret that?
Sorry, Jenny?
You interpret that? The final shot at the end with Rhaenyra and all the dragons in the background, do you interpret that as like a cool, like, yeah, we're ready for you, Vega, come bring it, bitch? Or as a like a, like, how do you see
Yeah.
that
Yeah, she
final
was posing
shot?
for the album cover, you know? Like, yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. You
Do
can
you think
barely.
that the Silverwing joyride done by Ulf was on Rhaenyra's command to try and
No.
draw it out, or do you think that was him just going on a joyride and swinging by King's Landing for shits and giggles?
I think he would have done it on her command. I think that was just like as a threat or a taunt or something like that. Because she seems like set up and ready to receive him, right?
Back. Do you agree?
I saw that scene as just an extension of the scene before. I guess there is a cut back to King's Landing in between, but I thought he just sort of got on Silverwing and right then immediately flew back to King's Landing, whether on purpose or by accident.
Well, to show the lads. Hey lads, look at what
Yeah.
I found. It's certainly possible.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he was properly strapped onto the dragon, or like
Yeah.
He felt like he didn't. Yeah, so it's certainly possible that he might not have known what he's doing and he might have just been going for a joyride. But I think, like, looking at the map, so I'm looking at the map now. So Dragonstone to actual King's Landing is about as far away as Harrenhal to King's Landing. So if it's on land, you'd be talking about a couple of weeks. So, like, yeah, a
They made
couple
it
of
look like
100
it was
miles.
like a, like across the bit, like you
Yeah.
could see Dragonstone with his telescope from King's Landing or something, but I
But
don't know.
I, so,
You can move fast
yes.
on a dragon, I guess. I don't know, just whatever.
That's
I mean,
yeah, I
Silver
don't.
Wing has clearly got the racing stripes on the wings. That's what's happening. He's just like, woo!
Yeah.
I mean, this Game of Thrones did this a lot as well, where they did kind of give the impression that the difference between
Dragons in
dragon,
the
the
jet
distance.
stream.
Sorry, Jenny?
Dragons are the jets of the Game of Thrones world.
It kind of, or even that, like that, Dragonstone and King's Landing are not that far apart, because there would be scenes where someone would go from King's Landing to Dragonstone to King's Landing again, and you'd assume that it would be maybe an overnight journey or something, but the distance is about the same as that of Harrenhal. And even if ships travel faster than horses, which I'm guessing is going to depend on the weather, it's still going to take, I don't know, 3 days if you're Alice Rivers, right? Like, so I don't, yeah, like it does kind of feel like this operation of gathering at the Bastards was done in an evening, but it was probably a several week opera, month long operation or something. I don't know.
Which, if it was a month-long operation, that makes sense for Aegon's recovery. It makes less sense for Alicent's having a spa week. You know, she's having a Centre Parcs weekend with her old friend. Like, you know, what's going on there,
Has
lady?
she run
Do
away and
some
no one
work.
noticed?
Like, yeah, is
She'd
she
be
really
better off if she
hoping that,
did.
like, to be honest, like, is she hoping what will happen if she comes back and everything's like shit's fucking hit the fan and they're gonna be like, Alicent, we really missed you. If you were here, we wouldn't have had Silverwing flying over the city and we wouldn't have had whatever other shit's gonna go down. Like, is she hoping that absence is gonna make the heart fonder? Because I don't think that's what's gonna happen.
I don't.
Avian's gonna be like, you were gone? Wait, what?
Well, yeah. I thought you were
Yeah,
just doing
Mum?
what I asked you to do. Were you not in the
Yeah, I thought
kitchen?
you were doing domestic was it domestic
Pursuits, yeah.
activities? And like
Yeah. You.
Kristen's off doing whatever he's doing, so it's not like he's gonna notice she's bugging off to the woods. I did enjoy the look on the Kingsguard face when he was like, no maids, no retinue, and she's like, no, just you, and he was like, oh fuck, I've got to look after this queen on my own. And she's
She's
clearly
the.
having a depressive episode.
Yeah, always like, crikey, you're not going to ask me to take my trousers off as well, are you? Like, I don't.
Was thinking
Look.
the same thing. I know you're into
Nah,
purity, but nuh-uh.
it's just like, no, I'm not. I'm, you know. I'm too old, it doesn't work no more. Sorry, that
I
mean.
mean, you might
No.
have been out of view for a while.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's like, you know.
Kingsguard.
Yeah, it's so but yeah, so I don't know, maybe is this possible that she might actually just decide to run away and like that's just the end of the story for her? Does she actually come back for anything?
Did she come back to like die?
She I don't think she's gonna run away. I mean, I
Okay.
think she should run away. I don't think she will.
I think
I'd
she
run
might come
away.
back when Aegon comes home.
Yeah,
Meet him.
I so it I mean it does feel like a lot of Alison stuff. I'm sorry as filler, but it does, you know, especially that scene in the woods. She could have done something a bit more interesting in the woods, like I don't know, rid a horse or.
Like she could have had a whole like a conversation with Helena about like, hey, the cobblers tried to murder us. How you're holding up? And then we could have had more Helena stuff because we all love Helena.
Yeah. She's like the redeeming green, I think.
She's a
Is
good
there any?
egg.
Yeah, I don't. And maybe Dayron.
And
Negwe.
maybe the unseen Dayron.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what kind of like to see the character development of Gawain Hightower, because I'm assuming he's going to be in the last episode. I
I hope
think I did.
so.
I think I saw him in the last episode in the preview, so I'm pretty sure he's in. So it seemed like that there might be some people have been saying it, the Battle of the Gullet might be the one next episode, but I don't know. So there are they they're so they're planning they're marching from was it Hightower, Golden Teeth, probably looking at taking back Harren. Is it going to be a battle at Harrenhal for the last episode? Things seem to be sort of like happening around Harrenhal, right?
Well, I think the ground armies are finally starting to get into position, because we've been promised a northern army and a Vale army since episode one, which we've still not seen. Aemon's been trying to muster the Riverlands, which are finally like organized. We've briefly seen the Lannister army, and the twins have sided with Rhaenyra as well. So I feel like we need like at least one ground battle with dragons aboard, because it felt like obviously the one between the one at Brook's Rest was very much a small ground army and then the dragons doing all the work. But I feel like with the number of moving parts now, I want to see like a full-fledged multi-army battle with dragons in support. So it's more of a human thing with dragons. It's kind of a nuclear option.
I it's going to be interesting. I don't know what battle and what dragons we can expect in this upcoming battle. So there'll be Daemon's dragon. Which one's Da Syrax,
No,
Vermithor, something?
Syrax is Rhaenyra's. Caraxes is
That's it.
the creepy bean noodle.
Yeah.
Is the weird looking. I love it.
So we might see Caraxes.
I miss Caraxes. We haven't seen him for like the whole episode. There was a lot of missing characters this episode. Like we didn't see any Christian. We didn't see any Gawain. We didn't see any Helena. We didn't see any Otto, although he hasn't been in really the season at all. We didn't see any
Lannisters.
Alice. We didn't
Alice,
see
no
any of the
Alice.
Lannisters. We didn't see any. I mean, those are a lot of important characters we didn't see.
We did see some Driftmark. I gotta be honest, like the I love the armor, the Driftmark armor. And I think I've kind of worked it out. I've worked out why the outfits on Driftmark are so the best, right?
So the best.
So the best, right? It's because they're pirates, right? So they or like they're you
Sailors.
know, seafarers, sailors, right? They're going to have access to the best like dyes and fabrics and all that kind of stuff, right? Like they
We'd hope.
probably, like it's oops, I've lost my place. Like they've got hang on a minute, sorry, I just lost my
I mean, I did. One of the things in my notes I haven't mentioned yet is the dress game this episode. Like, Rhaenyra's look throughout the whole episode was just like amazing. I really loved her outfit. It was very like power boss game, and the colors were wonderful. I think Alicent, despite being kind of filler, her dress was pretty. And yeah, like. The different armors, like even in the Council of Harrenhal sequence, the different families with their different armor sets and cloaks and such like. I really enjoyed all of those together. You've already commented on the Tully armor, but yeah, just the costume. Like the one thing that Game of Thrones never failed was production.
It was
Like production and acting was always top notch. The only ever weakness was the writing.
yeah.
And that is unfortunately, as it turns out, the most important bit.
I'm just looking through the Riverlords armors now, and each of the houses there have their own, color sigils and armor styles. It's not actually, I quite like what Simon Strong is kind of wearing. It's almost a little bit like in the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, the Shivering Isles. There's Shea Gorath who wears an outfit that's kind of similar. I don't know if you got that far into your Oblivion playthrough, Jenny, but
I didn't get that far into my Oblivion playthrough, but you do get to re-meet him in Skyrim. And I
You
think
do,
he's
yeah.
wearing like the slightly more polygons at that particular era version of his traditional outfit.
And you got they got their own colors, they got their own houses. I don't know enough about the houses. There's like one that's a bird, one that's like a man carrying a wheelbarrow. Brackens, Blackwoods. Do the Brackens and the Blackwoods exist in Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Okay, so
I
at
mean, I
least
think just in
I think
passing, I don't think they were
definitely know
ever on
Blackwoods are
screen.
mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm,
And I
yeah.
think the.
The
I'm
Blackwoods
trying to remember
intermarry
the.
with a lot of the royal houses, actually. I think the Starks have some Blackwood ancestors and the Targaryens
Yeah.
by the time of Game of
It's
Thrones.
interesting. It's interesting because the default way of looking at them is the Blackwoods are good and the Bracken the bad. Is that the right way around? While obviously in this one we've had, because Daemon's come in, he's really put the crime into war crime. So he's really he's made that side a bit harder to tell the byline. But I think if I remember correctly, there's the Telltale video games that have an invented house who are vassals to either the Blackwoods or the Brackens, as the hero family. Is that right? Or are they vassals to the Tyrells? It's been a very long time since I've watched those walkthroughs. I never actually played the game. I can't remember, but I feel like they. There's definitely either a Blackwood or a Bracken connection in those games. So the actual Blackwood Bracken has definitely got canonical stuff, but I don't think they ever heavily featured in the Game of Thrones series.
So House Forrester is the main one.
I think they're vassals to either the Blackwoods or the Brackens.
Oh no, the Glovers.
Glovers? And Glovers are to Tyrell or to
Oh no,
Rhaenys?
to the north.
Actually, the north. Okay, cool. It's been a very long time since I've watched, but I'm pretty sure they do have something to do with Blackwoods and Brackens at some point.
Probably, I mean,
Obviously,
yeah.
Blackwoods and Brackens are such a useful kind of
Allegory, yeah.
side metaphor for a lot of the strife that occurs within Game of Thrones, where you have the blood feud that's been going on for so long that you don't actually know who started it, and you can have things like the Romeo and Juliet stories, and you can have violence as a cycle because you have basically the classic Montagues and Capulets of the Game of Thrones universe.
Or Sharks and Jets, if you want to be
Or
musical.
Sharks and The only other thing I have on my notes is I really liked the description of the bastards being you better check in sheets and wood piles.
What's the wood piles?
And
What?
so the classic thing is like you put the baby out in the woodshed to die, or if you're talking more fae sort of side of things, you would have changelings would be hidden as a bundle of twigs. And the fays would leave the bundle of twigs instead. So it's just a very nice old-fashioned way of saying bastards between the sheets or in the woodshed. It was just a really lovely turn of phrase from Massaria, and I was just like, yes, I love it. So I did like the precedent for bringing up small folk and bringing up bastards is definitely a dangerous one, particularly when you're not just bringing them into political standing, you're giving them extreme religious fervor slash nuclear power. But it's also really cool, and politically, it's got a lot of like interesting cogs to turn. In the long term, it must be a horrible idea because we know the dynasty gets wiped out basically. But in the short term, yeah,
I
Rhaenyra's doing
mean,
what she can.
it.
I also love, yet again, Rhaenyra has got people saying, "You're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong," and she's like, "Well, what do you want me to do? What choice do I have? Like, what choice does she have other than to try and react as best she can?" And it's not a horrible idea.
But it's
It's,
like, come at me with
she's
solutions, you know? Like, it's easy to tell me what
give
I'm
me
doing
imperfect
wrong.
problem. Give me imperfect solutions. Stop giving me perfect problems. You're telling me what I'm doing is wrong. You're not telling me how to make it right.
I, which is it, is kind of interesting, and I don't know if this is some sort of like there's a few layers to that kind of approach, right? Because on one hand, you could be like, well, that is a contrast to a lot of the masculine styles of ruling, where it's like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to charge ahead anyway. Or it could also be seen as like hesitant and unsure, and as and hesitancy and unsure being sort of things you
Weak.
associate with a lack of power. So I don't know. I suppose it's the two ways of framing it, really. I mean, she does go ahead with it anyway, so she does have that sort of masculine
Yeah,
push.
she's got the will. I do think it's a shame that we didn't get the answer that we're wanting to as to whether or not dragons can claim secondary riders if their riders are still theoretically alive. So we haven't had the answer on whether or not Laenor is dead.
I
We've
don't know
been
if we ever will.
seemingly, I don't think, well, this was the one opportunity to have it, and I don't think we will, which is a shame because that would have been some nice kind of emotive drama to have. But I do get the focus of Rhaenyra on the fact that it's the first time a dragon has been claimed by a bastard. And that's enough to chew on mentally than also, like, is my husband dead or alive? But it would have been nice to have that answer.
The
That would have
what's
been.
interesting is that I suppose thinking about when Helena said in the last episode, this one stops singing, like it does kind of feel like that is just a little bit of a inclination to like be like something's changed that we haven't seen or understood yet. And it might be that Laenor's either died, or he's maybe moved far enough away from Sea Smoke to break the bond. I don't want to start bringing in like nerd levels of maths here, like in terms of like trying to work
Now,
out, because to try and bring
how
it.
far does this unladen swallow need to fly before it's detached from its dragon overlord?
Exactly, because I feel like the world of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones, etc., like is very much like all the lines are blurred everywhere, right? Like you can't, like, I mean, I know I try and do the maths on the distance of how long it takes to get here to there, and none of that even adds up. Like there are basic things that don't add up, which is fine. You do kind of have to either suspend the best disbelief, or you have to accept the unreliable narrator, whoever that might be. But it does kind of feel like, I don't know, like the ambiguity is very deliberate. Like it is like he could have died, he could have just left, he could have it he you know like I don't know, like he could have just faded out of mind, they could have fallen out of love, they could have the bond could have been broken, maybe Laenor went to some sort of magic temple and he was like, you know what, I want my dragon to be free. Probably not. That's probably one of the sillier ones. But like, I don't know. Like, I feel
Yeah,
like
we don't know. This
the
would
it
be the
was.
one opportunity to answer that question, but I'm sad that we don't have the answer, but I'm not gonna, like, I'm
No, I mean
disappointed I don't have the answer. I'm not sad.
I'm certain there is not an answer to that question. That's a decided. I feel that's the sort of. So maybe we can make up our own story. I personally think you'll go away and live happily ever after.
Yes, with his boyfriend forever.
Oh, hang on a minute.
But yeah,
Not
I think
which one's his boyfriend? Does he go off with his boy? Is
he
it
does
because
go
he?
off with his boyfriend.
But not Lonmouth because he dies.
So Joffrey dies at the wedding, and then he then names his child after his boyfriend,
That's
his
it,
dead
yeah.
boyfriend. But then he what's his name as a boyfriend? He's got like a really basic
Oh,
name.
it's not like Polliver or something, is it?
No, it's like literally like Tom or something. It's like a really basic name.
Anyway, I'm going to imagine that he we probably have it in the in the stuff. Right, King's
Anyway,
Guards.
him and his boyfriend run off to
Carl.
ways anew. Carl, there we go. I said it was a basic name. But yeah, so they're off living their best life. But yeah, I'm interested to see how Daemon reacts to this whole bastard stuff. I think he's going to absolutely hate it, and Rhaenyra's response is going to be like, "Well, if you absolutely hated it, why weren't you here? Why did you fuck off and then not contact us for however long it's been while you've been hallucinating having sex with your mum?"
I mean, I don't know if we'll even see Damon again before he die. Well, maybe before he di Pro we'll probably see him before he dies, but
I would like to see Damon and Rhaenyra on screen again together. I think like there's a lot of unresolved stuff there, and again, I love the juicy like tragedy of this series, but I feel like there's they need to reform their connection in order for the tragedy to have weight if they're gonna do a tragic they never met again type thing. But yeah, I'll be interested. I'll be interested. Obviously, I don't know where the story's going.
No, I mean I don't, and Max has a sl is probably has the best idea out of all of us. But even then, they twist and turn a lot, don't
They, yeah, they certainly do.
I'm still hoping for Nettles, but I don't think they'd give up on all the character development they've done for Rhaenyra without giving
I'm
her
surprised they
some
did cut her.
conclusion.
Like, why did they cut her? Because she's obviously a fan favorite. Like, I know about Nettles. Nettles is featured in the spoken histories or lore and histories of the Seven Kingdoms. Like, she's an established character in at least Game of Thrones. Like, so
I
I
can't
do
speak to it.
it bewilders me. I think I don't know how much the writer's strike affected this season. I think George R. R. Martin wasn't allowed to be involved for a period of time because of the writer's strike. So I think that might be where some of the major diversions that he was is not happy with
I mean,
I
I
mean, in all
know this.
fairness, all of the hallucinations of Damon do feel like a bit of a writer's strike
Well,
situation, I'm not gonna lie.
some of the Alison scenes as well. I mean, surely it's like, don't get me wrong, no one likes a scab, but surely they could have just checked, ran it past him or something, like a phone call. No one's asking him to do any work or nothing or cross the picket line. It's just like,
Yeah, well, the producers weren't striking, so technically he's a producer. He
Right,
should
yeah,
have taken the
technically, yeah, he
producer,
was doing
right?
his producer job, I think, technically. He had his producer hat on, but not his writer hat or something.
No.
Yeah, as I understand it, George is very upset that that Nettles has been cut and that Sheep Stealer is roaming wild. Like, apparently this idea of a dragon running up to the Eyrie just because it's wild is apparently something very wrong in George R. R. Martin's eyes, from what I've heard.
Yeah,
So,
he is. He said the dragons are non-migratory. They're not like African swallows.
yeah, this is kind of why I refrain from reading the books until after I've seen the show. Like, it to me, it feels that the show and then the book would is the better order, rather than
Well,
the other way
yeah,
around.
that
It
it
sort
sort of
of it
context.
feels like that now after going from. When I watched Game of Thrones, I hadn't read anything. But now, before the show, I've read all Fire and Blood, so it
I mean,
I
it
definitely,
depends on the
if I were
book.
to go back in time,
I
I'd do it the
do
other way
like
around.
it also depends on the adaptation. So generally speaking, if you've read the book beforehand, you would hope that the adaptation would have the vibe of the experience of reading the book, and perhaps less details or less specific character insights. But then you have in the back of your brain all of the additional knowledge. While really absorbing the visual media before doing the books, you can, particularly like for Game of Thrones, because there's so many characters and there's so many intricate plot lines going on, I think I would have found it very overwhelming to read the books before having at least watched the series and having, like, even though, and I've said this multiple times, so it's very boring to re-say, but it is true. My vision of the characters is completely different to the casting of the show. Like, I do not view any of the characters at all how they are presented in the show. The visuals in my brain for how each of the characters look, how they sound, how they react, what they wear is very, very distinct to what's presented in Game of Thrones. However, having the knowledge of Cersei being brothers with with Tyrion and with like having that kind of visual knowledge of like family trees and who relates to who before reading the books was really helpful when I read the books because there's so many characters that without that full kind of visual knowledge ingrained in my psyche, I would have found it a bit overwhelming.
I will say that it is
And you can always
really
learn more.
in a show like this or a story like this where there's like a million characters, it really helps to have something to latch on to visually in order to make the distinction in my brain, because if I'm just reading some made up name, character name, Lord such and such, and I've a couple paragraphs later I read about a different Lord such and such, in my mind I'm not really going to draw to two distinct
I would
people
be really
necessarily.
so interested to have the opinion of someone who hadn't seen or read Game of Thrones, just starting with House of the Dragon. Because for us, we had this inbuilt, again, we talked about this last series. We have this kind of inbuilt geography for the world. We know what Targaryens are. We know what Lannisters are and what they represent and what they mean as a people. We know what Starks represent as their kind of archetype. We know what the Wall is. We know what the Watch is. We know what Kingsguard are and the Gold Cloaks and the Small Council and the Master of Whispers. We know what the Tullys mean when we come across a Tully character. We know what Harrenhal means as this like thing. Without that kind of innate inbuilt geography, I would be really intrigued to see how people are able to access House of the Dragon if they're going in completely blind. And then obviously you have the horrendous names. Like honestly, the names in this show, we've cracked them, we've got them. Like I cannot imagine what it would be like for someone coming to this show for the first time. Like, it's stupid.
Yeah, I suppose it's like you kind of need a bit of a visual cue more than anything else. But I mean, there is a reason they released the character guide, the dragon's guide, the maps. Like it almost feels a little bit like I always thought that Star Wars films, when they show the yellow text at the beginning, I always thought this was a hilariously bad, like, cinematic choice, because it's right, great, we've got starting off with a film, and then there's like six paragraphs of reading, and it's like what, like that just feels like someone's completely thrown the rule book out the window. And to be honest, like, it's become iconic for Star Wars, but there's a reason you don't see it no more. There's a reason it sort of died, like lived and died with Star Wars or
But there's a
Star.
reason why it's considered bad form.
Actually, I
Yeah,
think
well,
didn't.
I think when it I think when it came out, it was like retro throwback to like the 50s. Like,
Yes, I think it was actually, yeah. Yeah, I do
yeah.
remember that now. Yeah, like it was a,
But
yeah.
there is a reason why they don't do it anymore, you know,
Yeah.
other than Star Wars gets away with it because it's just that's what it is.
Well, they're not even doing it on the new TV series, is they're only doing it on the films because of the throwback
Right.
references. And I like that Star
Yeah.
Wars regularly throws back to old movie quirks and stuff like this.
I
But
mean,
it's, but it,
whenever they play the starting score of Star Wars at the cinema with the full volume of the cinema, I jump out of my seat every single time. I literally have to like cover my ears in anticipation of the yeah, like
it just doesn't feel right
aggressive.
anymore without the 20th Century Fox logo and music that came before. You know,
Yeah.
that's really missing.
But with but so like it so it almost feels like even though Star Wars has decidedly starts its films with something that is deliberately not I want to say like viewer friendly, user friendly, or whatever, right? Like it starts with something that feels like a cinema sin. The fact that like Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon with so many people with so many similar names, who regularly get them mixed up even in the show. Like that's a deliberate thing that is again, they've made a deliberate decision to make something more difficult for the reader slash viewer. And I kind of am okay with that, but I don't quite know why, because it's like a deliberate bad
It feels
decision.
like they respect their audience a little bit. They're like, okay, we know that people put in the work to understand this.
Yeah, but then on the hand that if you have to release a map and various character guides to get your audience up to speed, that is almost, it feels a little bit like a tacit admission of failing to tell the story. But then again, without doing exposition potatoes and really stupid exposition tricks, what, how else can you do it, right?
Yeah.
They
Well, we've
did.
got the credits to prove I
that.
still think they do a good enough job of providing enough exposition that you don't need the extra
Yeah.
guide. You may need more than one viewing in order to understand things, but you can
Well,
understand
yeah.
everything you need to
Yeah.
know
And
just by
they
watching the
also
show.
invented such exposition masterworks as sexposition. So you know, good job, Game of Thrones, for innovating the exposition form with tits.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't, have we seen any of that in
No.
at all with House of the Dragon, actually? So I don't think we've seen it in this season.
Probably the closest we've had is Damon hallucinating fucking his mum,
Or technically,
which
maybe
kind of
Corlys
gave us
and.
more questions than answers.
Yeah. Or like, well, call it that. I think that was just sex, really, wasn't it? Or like sex weirdness. I think
He's
maybe
weird
with
about sex.
Corlys and Rhaenys had a few moments in
Oh,
bed, but that's not really sex position. That's just a conversation in bed,
but
right?
those weren't like that. There was sex scenes that had exposition, or like they had intimate scenes involving nudity that had exposition, but none of them were titillating. Like you had exposition while Aemond was in bed with Sylvie, but they weren't actively fucking, and
It isn't like
wasn't
Peter
like
Baelish
it
like
wasn't
saying,
titillating. He was
get some
curled up
girls
like a
in
baby.
here, we gotta make it interesting. There's
Yeah,
nothing like
yeah.
that.
Or like feel yourself more. Like you know, it wasn't like that. It wasn't designed to be like, oh, the exposition's boring. Let me watch some sex to make me more interesting. It was like this: these characters have intimate moments, and when they have intimate moments, they happen to discuss their lives.
I think you guys have nailed it on the head. It definitely feels, particularly in House of the Dragon, somewhat with Game of Thrones too, but definitely with House of the Dragon, that they do respect their audience enough to keep up with this kind of stuff. So, you know, yeah.
Right. That my notes are finished.
Yeah, I'm just hanging on
Yeah.
the last episode of the season now. I'm hoping it's a good one. I'm glad it got a 9 out of 10.
Good. Touchwood. I'm excited for the
Touchwood,
next
yeah.
episode, but I hope it lives up to expectation after such a good series so far.
Yeah, and three setup episodes for this. Like, I gotta be honest, I would have expected a little bit more. I don't know. I want to say action or some sort of, you know. I mean, at the end of this season was kind of action with the dragon seed, the big fiery thing, I guess. That was kind of impressive and cool.
Yeah, that's my highlight of the episode.
It visually
Highlight of the
it's
last
absolutely
couple.
beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, lots of dragons in this. This is probably more dragons than we've ever seen in House of the Dragon before in one episode.
Yeah.
So nice. Okay, living up to its name. Let's see those dragons in action next week. Cool. All right. Yeah. Right. So, yeah. Should we wrap up?
Yes,
Yeah.
Dean.
Cool. All right. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you with the final. Toodaloo.
Bye.